So we're talking about faith, hope, and love. And the first thing we're talking about is faith. If you want to be successful in this life, in as far as the Lord's concerned, is you have to be successful in faith, hope, and love. So that's why we're talking about faith. And I want us to look at Hebrews 11:6 again. We looked at it last time. But we talked about last time that faith has to have an object. You have to believe in something or someone. Now, some people believe in, they believe in their own abilities. They believe in their job. They believe in, any number of things. But true faith, as far as the Lord is concerned, is in an object. And that object, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:6, and this is the faith chapter, if you want to read about the various ones that had faith in the Bible, you would read Hebrews 11. But Hebrews 11:6 sums up the thing with faith, which says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, or for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. And they were talking about a Bible kind of faith, not a natural faith, not a fleshly faith, but a spiritual, biblical faith. And the Bible says, very simply, without this faith, it is impossible to please God. So, I'm sure everybody today wants to please God here. And so we're going to talk about what this faith is and how do you receive this faith and so forth. Faith always has an object. It always has a place to focus on. It'd be like, as I mentioned last time, if you were going toward in the distance and you had a place you wanted to go, you would find some object to look at and to walk straight towards that object to get there by the shortest path. And so I mentioned the fact my dad and I used to go hunting and various things, and in order to find his way back, he would always have landmarks, and he'd always have something. He'd have a tree or a rock or something that he could find his way back, and these things were landmarks. Well, faith is our landmark in this life. Faith is are the things that we look towards as we move along in this life. And so faith, a lost person could have a faith in something, but we're talking about Christian faith, and that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it also says that not only must we believe that God is, that he exists, that he's alive. He died and he rose again on the third day. So we must believe that he is. He is alive today because God is eternal. He was alive 2,000 years ago. He's alive today. He'll be alive 2,000 years in the future. He'll be alive in eternity. God is. God is eternal. God cannot die. God is always available. God is never on vacation. He is always available to you and I for whatever we might need. And so you have to believe that God is. And that's faith. We believe God. We believe that God is. Secondly, we have to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, you wouldn't work for somebody without expecting a paycheck at the end. God doesn't expect us to do his work on this earth without receiving some kind of payment at the end. It's not like he's an employer, but he's a loving father, and he desires to do that. When I was a kid, one of my jobs was to mop the kitchen floor. That was one of my jobs. One of my first jobs ever as a human being was to mop the kitchen floor. And I did that once a week on Saturday mornings. That was my job. So I did the job because my mother asked me to do it, but I also was very pleased at the end I got paid. And I believe, if I remember correctly, she paid me 20 cents to mop the kitchen floor. Now, that's not a lot of money, but the issue is I appreciated the 20 cents. I didn't mind doing the kitchen floor. It was a good exercise. But the fact was I got paid at the end. So we have to understand that God is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Moses will have rewards. David will have rewards. The Apostle Paul will have rewards. And you and I will have rewards in heaven. And one of the interesting things about this reward is there's a lot of ways you get rewards, but one of the interesting ways about the rewards is this, that there's different levels of rewards, and how you apply yourself in this life to the things of God will determine some of the rewards you get in heaven. In other words, not everybody's going to get the same rewards, but we have faith that we'll receive rewards. And so we're beginning to understand that faith has an object, but faith also has a reward, interesting enough. And so we have something to look forward to, not only God, but also rewards. And so that is a good thing. And we talked about last time, but here's the things that we believe. We believe in the death of Jesus Christ and his shed blood wipes away our sin, pays for it entirely. We believe that Jesus Christ was buried and he buried our sins as far as the deepest ocean and as far as the east is from the west. That's faith. Lost people do not have that faith. We as Christians have that faith. Other religions do not have that assurance. We have that assurance. That is what we believe. That is the energy, the fire, the blessing of being in this life, having faith in God on a daily basis and going through this life, or the journey, somebody says, going through this journey. Now, some people have faith in their money. Some people have faith in their career, all kinds of things that people have faith in. But it's where you put your faith that makes a difference as to how you end up. If you put your faith in God, you're going to end up with God. If you put your faith in yourself, you're going to end up in the same place that self ends up, and that's in the grave and eventually in eternal hell. So where you put your faith makes a difference. If you depend on your job and you lose it, then there goes your faith. But if you have your faith in the Lord, he is eternal, and so you'll always have the Lord to put your faith in. Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. As we get into the scriptures, I'm going to give you this morning some practical things about faith. Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, he said unto them, where is your faith? Now that's a good question. And they being afraid marveled, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Well, you know the story. They'd been out on the lake. A storm came up. They were about to sink. Jesus comes walking on water. They invite him into the boat. And the minute he gets into the boat, he commands the storm to be calm. He commands the lake to be calm. And they marveled at him because he could do this. But he was teaching them something. And he's teaching us something. Because he says, where is your faith? Now that makes the difference as to what you're going to be able to do in life. Wherever your faith is makes a difference. If you have your faith in God, then you're going to be able to do the things of God. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. He had faith in the Father, that the Father was going to listen to his word and do it. And so Jesus commanded the storm to calm. The storm was calmed because he had faith in God. Your faith is either in the kingdom of God, or it's in this life, or it's in this world, or it's in this age, or something of that nature. But the world is the enemy's kingdom. And if you have faith in the enemy's kingdom, you'll end up where the enemy's going to live, end up. If you have faith in God's kingdom, you're going to end up where God's kingdom ends up. It's just that simple, really. And by placing your faith in your own abilities and the world's source, we leave God out of things. If you leave God out, you'll not have the things of God. God said, if you believe I am, then I will reward you in the end. And that's what we have our faith in. So, how do we receive God's faith? Or we could call it this, God's kind of faith. How do we receive it? It's God's kind of faith. You can have man's kind of faith, you can have the devil's kind of faith, or you can have God's kind of faith. How do we receive the faith of God? Obviously, the first thing is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, so that's an important thing. I want you to go to Romans 12:3, and it tells you how to receive God's faith. It's in Romans. It's chapter 12 and verse 3. So it's important that we find out where faith comes from. 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now this says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means God's faith comes from God. It is a gift. God didn't say anything there about earning faith. He didn't say anything there, you do this and I'll give you faith. You do something else, I'll give you faith. All we really do is receive the faith of God. He gives us faith. It says so right there. Now, if you have one of these pews, and you look at that pew and you don't think about it too much, you just have faith. If I sit down in that pew, it's going to hold me up. You don't really think about it after a while, because if you sit down in that pew enough, you know that pew is going to hold you up. And it's the same way with the faith of God. If you keep trusting the faith of God, keep acting on the faith of God, keep using the faith of God in your life, it'll become second nature. Just like sitting in the pew, you're going to sit in the faith of God on a daily basis. And I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a minute. First, we have to receive it. Do you know that every gift of God is received from God? We don't earn anything. It is a gift of God. It is by the grace of God. He gives us these things. In fact, if you go on and read in verse 12, it talks about gifts here, spiritual gifts that God gives. He gives them because of faith. Now, faith in God is really not any more complicated than sitting down in a chair and believing it. We receive the things of God and we believe what God says. Now, we are to use this faith on every single day. Faith when we get up, faith when we get ready to do whatever we do, faith when we eat, faith when we sleep, faith when we work, faith when we play, faith when we do everything we do. We do this in the faith of God. Now, how does this work in your everyday life? Well, for one thing, you have to get into faith. You have to step into it. You have to sit in the pew. You have to get out of the boat. You have to get into the Word of God. I want you to look in Romans 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. Now, there's other scriptures in the Bible about faith, but we want to look at these particular ones. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. And I want you to look at this carefully, because this is going to tell you how the whole thing works. This is extremely important. If you don't listen to anything else, listen to these verses right here, because I'm going to tell you how to be successful in the Christian life right here. Romans 10 and verse 8. Now follow with me as I read. But what says it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that tells you how to be saved. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. It tells you exactly how people get saved. Now, for with the heart, verse 10, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you have to put all these verses together, and I'm going to do that in just a minute. But I want to continue reading. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So believing, faith, is extremely important. Verse 17 tells you how you receive the faith of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's an interesting verse in the Old Testament, we're not going to look at it, but it just says, the word of God breaks the rock, is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. If you had a big rock, and you had a hammer, and you hit that rock, 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 eventually it's going to start splintering, it's going to start cracking, the rock is going to break. Now the rock is our heart. Without Christ we have a hard heart. If we do not listen to the word of God, our heart gets hard. But the thing that breaks the rock, that breaks the hardness, is the word of God, not only when we hear it, but also when we speak it. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute, because this is extremely important. I'm talking about how to receive faith into your life. It's a gift of God. It is in us, but it's not activated unless you do what I'm going to talk about here in these few minutes. Now, let's go back to where we started here in Romans 10:8. And I want to explain these scriptures. But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, what it says here, that we are to have the word of God in our mouth. We're to have it in our mouth. That means we are to speak the word of God. When you speak the word of God, your heart receives it. Your mind receives it. Your brain receives it. When you speak it, whatever you speak out of your mouth, your brain believes. Your heart believes. Whatever comes out of your mouth, your heart believes, and it will direct your life. Now listen to this carefully. So, this says, and we just read a while ago, we have to hear the word. Hearing the word is like a rock that hits the hammered hits a rock, breaks it to pieces. You hear the word, you speak the word, your heart receives the word. Now, very interesting, they have begun doing tests on Alzheimer patients and other people, and they have found that when these people hear the word of God constantly, day after day after day after day after day, something changes in their brain. It begins to connect in new ways, and many times some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's is reversed because of constantly hearing the word of God on a daily basis. Now, here's something else. If you speak the word of God yourself, your whole person, your brain, your mind, your heart, your body, every part of you believes what comes out of your mouth. So if you lie, your body is going to take in lies. If you tell the truth, your body is going to take in the truth. If you take in the word of God and speak it out of your mouth, your mind and brain is going to believe it, and it will begin to change your mind and your brain. And you, over a period of time, they say it takes about 6 months, will begin to have the mind of Christ. Now listen to me carefully. It's very important. One of the reasons that more and more on Sundays, I'm having you repeat the Word of God is because your person, your spiritual person particularly, will hear that word of God and believe it when you speak it. We were designed to believe what comes out of our mouth. Now that's interesting. You hear these people sometimes that listen to some of this music that has all kinds of demeaning words in it and all kinds of sexual things in it, and they say, oh, it's just music. It doesn't really make any difference. You're hearing that. And I'll guarantee you that somebody that hears that long enough, listen to me, will begin to speak it. And when they begin to speak it, their body will believe it, and they will start living that kind of life. Now, if you believe that, say amen. I'm giving you the how this works. So it makes a difference. What kind of music you play, what kind of music you listen to, what words you listen to on TV, what words you listen to from your friends and companions, and the one even in your own family that you spend time with, it makes a difference. And you every once in a while, if you start speaking the things of God and you're around certain people, they say, I don't want to hear it. Well, the reason they don't want to hear it is because they've been listening to the things of the world so long, their whole person has believed it, and they're stuck in that lifestyle, and the only answer is that they come to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to show you something in this next scripture. So the point is, I will tell you something that will change your life right now, and this is it. If you will, every single day, read out loud at least a chapter or two in the Word of God for 6 months, you'll begin to think like Jesus Christ. It may not take that long, but I'm just saying at least that long. So the point is to learn to do it every single day. Now I read my Bible every day, but I try to speak out loud. You say, who are you speaking to? You're speaking to yourself as well as God. And so when you speak the word of God, it will improve your mind. Now, interesting enough, we're going to do a little experiment. Grace is going to do this in her classroom. She's going to have her kids read out loud every time they're in that classroom. She's in a Christian school. She can do this. Read scripture out loud. Probably at least I don't know how much she's going to be able to do, but she's going to have them read scripture out loud every single day. Now, let me show you. You say, well, I'm not sure about it. Let me show you something else here. It's very interesting. Look in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. Look in verse 9. Now, this tells how a person is saved. I want you to see this. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I say confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, there's several things there. You have to put your faith in believing what God says about the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, therefore he is. We talked about that already in Hebrews. Believe God is. Number two, confess it with your mouth. So when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, or when you came to Jesus Christ, hopefully you told somebody else with your mouth that you had received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When I lead somebody to the Lord, I tell them, you tell somebody. You call somebody up. You tell somebody now that you have received the Lord. Because when it comes out of your mouth, God can use that into your life by faith. Exactly what we're talking about. So it's extremely important to control what comes out of your mouth. It goes into great detail. As you know, in James, it said, the tongue is like a rudder of a ship. You can guide a huge ship by a very small rudder and turn it whichever way you want it to go. Well, the Bible says our tongue, our mouth, our words direct our life because of this process that I'm talking about here. By faith, when we speak the Word of God, we believe it, and our faith is developed around what we say. Now, first, you have to hear it. Now, before I got saved, I started going to church. I can't tell you one thing they preached before I got saved. But all I can tell you is I was there and I was hearing the Word of God. I was hearing the Word of God. I was hearing the Word of God. I had no idea it was knocking on my old hard heart. I didn't know it was, but it was. And one night I went to church and suddenly I just realized I was lost. I needed Christ. I went down in the service. And I prayed to receive Jesus Christ. I went home immediately and told my wife. I didn't even realize that was part of the process, but I did. I went home and told my wife, and all I know is that was 38 years ago, and I still have faith in Jesus Christ. So it works. That's exactly how it works. That's what the Bible says, that it works that way. And so, just quickly, so it's very important to read out loud the Word of God. Whether you're by yourself or you're in a group like this or whatever the thing is. So, I will be having this church read Scripture every time that we meet, because we need to speak the Word of God out loud. Now, you say, well, what about those who are in the world? It works the same way for them. They speak the things of the world, they get stronger in the world. They speak the things of selfishness, they become more self-centered. You understand what I'm saying? You can tell then, not that we're the judge, because we're not, But you can tell by a conversation somebody's having whether or not they have faith in God, they have faith in themselves, they have faith in the world, or they have faith in their money, or they have faith in something else. And so the important thing is to hear the Word of God. We have found that if you're sick, it's a good idea to have Scripture, if you're not up to reading or any of that stuff, have Scripture on CD or on tape or something that you can play while the person's sick. If I was in the hospital, I'd want Scripture playing instead of watching the TV, because the Scripture has healing in it and will help heal my body. That's the issue. Now, if you believe what I'm saying, say amen. I want you to get this, because it is extremely important. You know, it's so interesting about God. He just doesn't tell you something and say, well, try to figure out how it works. You cannot figure out how God works. You can only understand by getting in the Word of God, finding out how the thing works, and then doing those things and getting the results of it. It's as sure as anything you will ever do, because it works. Now, so we haven't got any right to not understand how faith works. We found out where it came from. It comes from God. It's a gift of God. He gives us faith. He gives us the ability to believe in Him. Secondly, we hear the Word of God. Thirdly, we speak the Word of God out of our mouth, and then our whole person believes, and then we can do the things of God in this life. We can ask the storm to calm. We can ask all of these things just like Jesus did, because He had perfect faith. He had perfect faith. Every word that came out of His mouth was the Word of God. He had heard the Word from the Father. And He said, I never do anything but what the Father tells me to do. And so when He spoke, it was the Word of God, and things happened. Even nature obeyed the Word of God, you see. And so this is how we're to live our life. Just like you have faith, the pew you're sitting in is holding you up. We live our life by faith. Now, the neat thing about this, anybody can do it. I mean, you don't have to be a college professor to understand what I just said and to do what I just said. So, I would challenge you to do this experiment. Every single day in the next 6 months, read at least a chapter a day out loud of the Word of God in your life, and see at the end of that time your thinking hasn't changed. I challenge you to do that. Because it will. Now, it's probably time to quit. I don't even know when I started. There's also some things in the Bible of how to use your faith. There's some things in the Bible of how to increase your faith, because you can increase it. I gave you one of them, reading the Word of God out loud. And obviously, obeying the Word of God. But the thing that will change your life or anybody's life is reading the Word of God out loud. If you could get a lost person to read the Word of God out loud, it would change their heart. It would break the hardness of their heart and they would. You could challenge somebody. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe the Bible. I just don't believe God. I just don't believe any of this stuff. I said, well, how about doing an experiment? And I would challenge you to read a chapter of the Bible out loud once a day for 6 months. You could even make it shorter than that. 6 months is a long time for an unbeliever. Make it for 30 days. And tell them to start in John, the book of John, and to read a chapter every single day out loud and do it for 30 days and then come back and see you and see if their thinking hasn't changed. And, of course, you're praying for them in the meantime. God wants them to be saved and so on. These kind of things are things that we can do to change people's lives. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do this anyway, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to start reading out loud a little more than I have been, because I want to increase my faith and so on. Now, there's always somebody around that said, well, you know, I made this profession of faith back so-and-so, and I'm just going to tell you this Christianity doesn't work. Well, I'm going to tell you, it won't work if you don't work it. Are you listening to me? Nothing will work if you don't work it. Somebody gave you a new car. If you didn't turn on the key and get in the thing and ride in it, it wouldn't do you one bit of good under just look at it. And the thing is that some people spend the rest of their life looking at their faith instead of stepping into it and doing what God says, because he has these simple little things that we can do in order to not only believe God, but to believe that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repeat after me. God is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, that's Paul said, it's a race. Get in it. Life is a journey. It's a race. Get into it in the Lord's side of it. There are some brilliant people that do a lot of things in life that are not Christians. But I will guarantee you, they don't get the reward at the end. Are you listening to me? I mean, they have written books, they have written poetry, they have painted great paintings, they have used the things of God in this life without giving him the credit and without receiving his things. And there is no reward. There's only destruction at the end. Yes, Grace. Yes.
And he struggles with learning.
Yes.
And he put his head down on his desk and he sobbed because he wanted an award.
Okay.
Do you think that if we start this program with these kids that it will help his intellectual growth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you have a child or anybody else in your family that would be considered slow, do this, if possible. If they can read, if they can't read, then have them sit down and listen to the Word of God. Just listen to the Word of God. You read to them would be the next best thing. My mother, I never realized this. I can tell you one of the reasons that I came to Jesus Christ, because I was the worst rebel in the history of the world before I got saved. But I'm going to tell you one thing my mother did, and I remember it to this day more than almost anything else, and that is she had a great big Bible book that she would read to me out of. I would hear what God did with Samson and with David and with all these various Bible characters. And she would read. It wasn't even a Bible, but it had the Word of God in it. And she read this thing to me at a certain stage of my life constantly. I was hearing the Word of God. It was changing my mind. I never realized it, but it was changing my mind. And that's one of the reasons that I'm saved today. Not only her prayers, but she wasn't even a Christian when she was doing this. She was a churchgoer. She was religious, but she was not a Christian. But she read out of this big Bible book all the time to me. And so I was hearing things of God from her that I never heard anyplace else. And so that helped begin to break the rock into pieces. Does that make sense to you? Now, where does faith come from? Correct. How do we receive faith? Hearing the Word of God. How do we get the faith inside of us? Speaking the Word of God and hearing your own voice. Second best, listen to tapes, Christian TV, whatever. But the point is, God has so ordained that what we speak out of our mouth will direct our life. The same way that God said He created the world, how? By the Word of God. The Word that came out of His mouth created everything you see. So that was a principle there, that's the way God works. And so, faith and the Word go together. Faith and the Word go together. Now, it's time for me to quit. But next time, I'm going to talk about how to use your faith, and then secondly, how to increase your faith. I'm going to talk about that next Sunday. So hopefully you'll be here for that. And if you didn't get the tape from last week, I started this thing on faith last week. You might want to get that CD. They're inexpensive, and listen to it. Now, another thing you can do is, you can listen to anybody's tapes, but if you get tapes of the messages here, which I don't claim to be a great preacher, I claim, though, to make the Word of God workable. And I hit the basics, and that's what I try to do, so that you'll do those. Some people just get the tape, they'll listen to the message all week long, and then they come Sunday, they get another one, they listen to it all week long. If you start speaking some of those things that are in the messages, then you'll start getting them in you. And so if you hear, and you speak. You hear and you speak. It's show and tell. Show and tell. That's what it is. It's the way they do it in school. Why do they do it that way? Because they know you learn that way. It's very interesting. They've learned that.